you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, April 4th, 2017. Lots to say about our launching of the conversational English class yesterday, but I'll wait for Jason to be in the studio because it was a God-sighting filled morning, and thank you, God, for the teachers and the new students and all that happened, but I want to spend the preponderance of today's program talking with a new friend, actually via the email for a few months or certainly a month back and forth trying to set up getting you into the studio. And the other day you were here talking with Marianne and I, and we just thought we needed to have you record some of your testimony, some of your sharing, your passion on how God is establishing through you an art ministry to reach students and other artists in our area. And that's through the Illini Life. And you'll tell us a little about that ministry and the affiliation with the church and how that all works. And also how you've seen art as a conversation starter. Art is a conversation. Some unique ways that you're going to use your skills, your background, and reach people, bringing hope and the good news message of Jesus, yet allowing them to use their gifts and talents to create art, something that I'm not very good at, but my daughter is, and I'm just amazed that God has gifted unique people to do that. So in the studio with us is Sarah Hogue, and she's in the midst, I guess you're about 53% or so, you're raising funds to be a full-time, what would you call it, a full-time staff member with Illini Life? How does that all work?
Yeah, full-time staff member. My title would be campus missionary, and yeah, full-time staff member with Illini Life.
And Marianne, in just the short time that you've gotten to know Sarah, what stands out to you? What impressions did you have? I know you were excited about a few things that she had to say, but you connected with her or some of her testimony or sharing just resonated because you thought, here's a young lady. It's okay to call you a young lady.
Yeah,
that recently graduated from college, so in your early 20s, mid 20s.
29.
29, okay.
Single,
should we? Single, available? You know, okay,
maybe.
So, you know,
you're
the right
willing.
Christian man that sold out for the Lord.
You are running off script.
Okay, yeah. All right. Rein me in, Marianne. Rein me in.
All right.
Oh, I am very pleased to meet Sarah, and I'm so glad you came. And what attracts me to you or interests me about you, and I love you have a lot of light surrounding you. It's very beautiful. Now you're blushing, so you're also blushing. But
that's two out of three. Now we're going to get you next, Marianne.
Okay. Yeah, and I love some of the things you're doing. I mean, you have a lot of passion around this subject of art, and Christians producing art would be a probably better way to say it, maybe. How would you talk about that?
Yeah, thanks, Marianne. Actually, why I laughed so much was because my focus with my art was about light and dark.
Oh, wow.
And it's very much how I envision my work on campus is being a light in the darkness.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's why I was like, very fitting. Because I think there's something very interesting there about these spiritual forces at work. You have these dark forces that are just clouding these students, and they desperately need light in their life. And honestly, the truth of Jesus is that light.
Oh, wow.
So, very fitting.
That is fitting, and I did not know when I said you exude this kind of light. I did not know that that was the focus, but that's really kind of profound.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk a little about that light and darkness. I know you're relatively a new believer, just about 4 or so years. In fact, around 2013, I think you had stated that was your God moment, that God had used circumstances and situations and a woman called Sharia, or a fellow student, an artist, I believe.
Yep.
Because prior to that, I think you described yourself as like an atheist or somebody that was almost hostile. An antagonistic atheist that was hostile to Christians, you know, not only keeping them at arm's length, but didn't want to talk to them, interact with them, basically would have nothing to do with them. But why was that? Do you mind taking us a little through some of your faith journey, you know, grew up in a home that God wasn't necessarily honored or referenced?
Yeah, so I grew up in a, I would say it was like a nominally Christian household. We go to church if we woke up early enough on Sunday. But my parents got divorced when I was 8 or 9, and that was when I realized or I thought that God didn't answer prayers.
Yeah.
Because I would go to my room and just pray for comfort, pray for them to stop fighting, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, God doesn't answer prayers. And then we hopped from church to church, and I encountered a lot of different kinds of Christians.
And that's after your father had moved out, parents were divorced, so you're 9, 10 to the teenage years.
Yeah. Around like middle school and stuff, I'd be forced to go to youth group and be with these students who just wouldn't connect with me.
Right.
And I felt very judged. And it was a time of, it was just really hard for me.
Right.
I was struggling with a lot of self-confidence. So I was like, God doesn't answer prayers. There's no comfort within the community. So I was just pushed away. And I was very angry. I wanted to believe in God. I really did. But I never had like that thing to hold on to.
Now, was your gift of being an artist, was that being fostered or developed, or did you turn to art or drawings or paintings to find release or relief or connect with something because there wasn't that connection with God?
Yeah, I think I definitely, middle school is when I turned to art. It was what I was good at, so it was immediate feedback of, I can do this thing, I'm good at it, and it definitely became a form of therapy for me. So I was just struggling a lot with just a lot of psychological struggles.
And finding yourself, and if, as a child, God doesn't answer prayer, that would leave you kind of searching, and as you had maybe mentioned, and I think true of most our listeners, if there's not that grounding or central understanding that God loves and cares for you, we act out, we find ourselves making mistakes and misbehaving, sinning, falling short. But what then started wooing you towards God? Was it this friend, or were there other people that were modeling Christ in healthy examples for you?
Oh, I definitely think it was my friend Sharia.
Okay.
I wouldn't let myself be surrounded by those people. And I remember the first time I saw Sharia, there was like an immediate pull of like, I need to be her friend. I wasn't sure why. Well, now I know it's God.
Right.
That's correct.
And so she was a student, art student like I was. We just hung out in the studio.
Okay, back step a little.
Yeah.
So you're at U of I now.
Yeah.
When did you meet her?
I met her when I was in Wisconsin, where I'm from.
Okay.
I was going to school at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater for my Bachelor of Fine Arts, and that is where I met Sharia. And so, yeah, we just remember the first time we got coffee together, and I found out she was a Christian, and I believe I said to her, cool, just don't talk to me about God ever. We can be friends, we just won't talk about religion or politics. But we just became really good friends. I think I wanted to stay friends with her because she was super encouraging and loving like nothing I had ever known before. In my darkest times of just struggling with life and struggling to love myself, she was there to speak truth.
So did Sharia come here when you came here, or is she still in Wisconsin? Or
she is still in Wisconsin. I wish she was here with me.
Oh, she sounds like a beautiful person.
Oh, she's so wonderful. We're definitely like, it's been amazing becoming a sister with her, like a sister in Christ.
Yeah, she's got a lot of light on her too.
Yeah, it's really wonderful when you can have your faith ground a connection with someone, and how you can just kind of go to each other with your struggles.
And this was during 2011, 2012, because I think that was at a point where you were, if you will, bottoming out, you know, even contemplating suicide, you know, what's with life? Why is it worth living?
Yeah.
And she helped you begin to discover that God did, in fact, love you and helped you begin to sense that and feel that?
I think what she was doing through our friendship was softening my heart. I might not have known it.
God often uses people to do that.
And the only way I can describe it is it was all through the power of God. My, I guess you could say, revelation moment was solely by him in his power. He showed up and saved me in a way that only he could. Especially like you mentioned, in my darkest hour when I had no hope whatsoever and completely convinced that I had to kill myself because I didn't have any hope. And when you don't have anything to hold on to and you think you are messed up beyond repair, those thoughts make sense to you in that moment. But when God just suddenly showed up and spoke hope, I honestly didn't know what was happening.
Right.
So I immediately went to my friend Trey, and I was like, so I think God exists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about Jesus? It's easy to believe in a higher power.
Sure.
But Jesus.
Yeah.
So that experience was spring 2012, and then I was baptized April 2013. So it took me a year of just reading the New Testament, reading the Bible, going to church, attending small groups. It was just a lot of discovering who Jesus was.
Yeah, I think you said one of those foundational building blocks, if you will, was, you know what, I do now think the resurrection happened.
Mm-hmm.
Can you take us through that? Like,
sure.
You're reading the biblical account, maybe through the Gospels, mm-hmm. and you're saying, wow, this Jesus is something, and
mm-hmm.
wow, he did incredible things, and he lived this sinless life, but
yeah. You
had some trepidation or something, like,
mm-hmm.
okay, he's this great prophet, this great teacher, this great rabbi, maybe a miracle healer, but really, mm-hmm. could he have rose from the dead? Because we're getting near Easter and everything. I think this would be
mm-hmm.
a interesting shift where, why did you suddenly get it or believe it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I had convinced myself before becoming a Christian that the resurrection was just a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just could not logically wrap my mind around it, but I wanted to believe in it. And so I was reading the Bible, reading accounts of it, and everything that surrounded it. But it wasn't actually until I was reading another book. I think it was either Timothy Keller's The Reason for God or Lee Strobel's The Case for Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, the thing that really got me was the fact that it was women who discovered the empty tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And because the fact that women's testimony did not stand up in court at that time,
True. If
they made it up, it would have been men who discovered it. And so just like that simple fact of like, okay, this was not made up. This was not like a conspiracy. And I mean, there are several other things surrounding the resurrection that once you look at it, you're like, this actually happened.
Right.
And if he could raise himself from the dead by the power of God, if that's true, then everything else he says and had done is true.
Right.
And so by that logic.
So inspiring. So powerful.
In case you just tuned in, I'm going to jump in for a transitional period because somebody's maybe traveling to and fro or they just got into their car and they have the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends tuned in and are scanning the dial. We have Sarah Hoga here in the studio. She's in the process of raising funds to start and establish an art ministry using arts to God's glory. Are you working for Illini Life or somebody's tuned in and they have a passion for artists or they have fond memories of being in art classes or being an art teacher and they're like, I want to help support Sarah. How would they find out more or how would they support you? Is there a website or a phone number? What would they do?
Yeah. So Illini Life, they partner with a mission agency called Reliant. And so I have a website through Reliant. It's super simple. Reliant, Reliant.org and then / my name, Sarah.Hoag. So Sara. .HOAG. And on there is my ministry fund page. You can learn about me, my calling, who I'm working with, and then there's like a green Give Now button where you can easily sign up for.
Look for the green button.
It means go.
Yes. Actually,
give.
Yes, it does mean that.
Yeah. And
very motivating.
You're raising these funds for your own salary to do this job. That's how that works. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you feel God's going to establish you? Like, what is your hopes? Like, if everything came together and the funds were raised, how do you see launching into this? And what is your passion? What, as they say, what makes your clock tick?
Yeah.
It is just the hope that these art students need. Actually, it's the community that these art students need and the support for them to feel encouraged to grow in their faith through their art practice. So reaching out to those students, having those hard conversations. I'm kind of weird and I love hard conversations, especially when they're like theologically based.
That's
great. Yeah. I was like, well, artists are deep thinkers.
Yeah, they are.
And I think deep too. And I've worked through a lot of these harder questions. And I think God has kind of brought me through them so that I can share my resolve with these students and help them come to belief on their own. So a lot of it is very personal, looking forward to reaching out to those students, changing lives, but then also sparking a movement. The arts are powerful. They have the ability to start a fire and grow across the world. Well, that's a bad analogy because the world's on fire. We don't want that. Well, you know,
spread
a
light.
A spiritual fire.
Yeah.
To spread light, yes. And I think God is the ultimate creator. Right. And whenever we create, no matter what it is, we are enacting upon our image of Him.
Right.
Wait, no. Did I say that right? We are enacting upon the image of God.
Mm.
And so He wants to use that. He wants to use our ability to make, to bring hope to people,
yeah.
to bring light.
And you look at His handiwork. He's a very creative God in just mm-hmm. the design and the colors. And you look mm-hmm. at animals or nature and everything. We serve a creative God, and mm-hmm. He's entrusted us to carry on that creative capacity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so you're hoping to use art as a conversation point. And you got your bachelor's in Wisconsin.
I got my master's
here at U of I.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And being in that department, there's some pushback. I mean, when mm-hmm. a Christian starts disclosing, oh, I'm doing my art to God's glory, or mm-hmm. this is representative of these spiritual things, you would kind of imagine coming up against a wall to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a struggle. And what happens is when people find out you're Christian, they often label everything you do as trying to convert them.
Yeah.
Especially in the arts. If you make a piece and they find out you're a Christian, like, you're trying to convert me with this piece.
Yeah.
Picture of a daffodil, you're trying to convert me.
Yep.
No, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the truth is, all art in some ways preaching. All art is trying to convert people.
Yes, it is.
And so I would much rather be a part of that conversation. I'd much rather speak truth into those conversations than not be a part of them.
Mm.
Because that's where it's needed most.
Yeah. And our Great News Radio listeners can be a part of your ministry,
mm-hmm.
and they can find out more. Give us the website one more time, and so they can learn more what you're doing, how mm-hmm. you envision creating these conversations with other artists or
mm-hmm.
people in the performing arts. And because I think you primarily paint and draw. What are your skills? But you have a broader
mm-hmm.
desire to use some of the other performing arts, whether it's dance or skits, because I talked to you about our Great News Radio theater troupe and such, and, you know, there's other ways that you want to help empower artists, but
mm-hmm.
ground them in the Lord, in God's truth, but yet release them to have hope to use their art to His glory.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your specialty?
What is my specialty? My go-to is oil painting. However, I came into grad school doing oil painting. I left doing interactive light installations.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I joke that's what happens when a painter goes to an engineering school.
The University of Illinois.
Yep. You end up doing a lot of computer programming and lights and stuff. But it was a way for me to create an environment for people to come in contact with these theological concepts mm-hmm. of God's presence. And so, but being grounded in my faith, I was able to step out in different ways of making, especially when I knew, well, this is what God wants me to do, so He's going to help me with it.
Right. Now, I sidetracked you a little, but my initial question was, how can people get in touch with you and your ministry
mm-hmm.
and find out more of what you're doing so they can say, hey, I want to support this and help you reach that 100% funding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. So the website that people can go to is reliant.org/Sarah.Hoag. And I can spell that out again. R-E-L-A-I-N-T is Reliant. And then my name's Sarah, S-A-R-A, .H-O-A-G.
So reliant.org. That's simple, and they'll
mm-hmm.
get there. And then they just, can they search just your name?
Yeah, they can search my name in the missionaries tab as well.
Okay, S-A-R-A, and then H-O-A-G.
Yep.
So
is there a dot in there?
In the website address, there's a dot between my first and last name.
But if they get there and search it, they
can. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're driving to work and you can't remember all those letters and website address, just call the station, 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777, and we'll give you all the information and get you matched up with Sarah. Well, thank you for being available.
Yeah.
Some of your testimony and sharing. And if you missed a portion, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. www.knowingyournearnessclub.org. And for those of you that want to pass it on to a friend that's maybe an artist or interested in meeting Sarah or knowing more about her ministry, you can
email me.
Oh, yes. You can email you. What's your email?
My email is my name, sarah.hogue@reliant.org.
Sarah.
So it's like the website, but you just switch it.
Reliant.org. Well, thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Marianne, for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Sarah.
And you're welcome.
My goodness.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening.
Oh, thanks.
Now, Sarah, in light of some of your earlier comments about your faith journey and walking in the light and battling the darkness, this is a familiar song to Marianne. In fact, when she reads excerpts from her book, Memories of an African Son, I love to play this as the closing theme music, which incidentally, yesterday at our conversational English class, we had 53 Asian students. Marianne read from her book to a new advanced class we started, and they were very blessed. But I'm thinking, Sarah, as you're now walking in the light, using your gifts to God's glory, we'll dedicate this song to you, Walking in the Light of God, as a catalyst to get you supercharged for the days ahead as you raise support and see how God provides and births this new ministry on the campuses of the University of Illinois. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Offenstein with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.